This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. Hope it's starting off well for you. It's starting off dark. It's definitely dark out there, and this is how it's going to be now. We're still a month and a half away from falling back with the clocks, but it's going to get darker earlier. It's going to get lighter later. Right? Does that make sense? Yes. So, just be prepared if you're heading out. It's kind of cloudy, but still pretty nice out. So we have a lot that we can discuss today. And of course, we'll take your phone calls, 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemail on the WBSM app. We can talk more about what has been revealed or not yet been revealed about the attempted assassin of Donald Trump, who was in court yesterday and faces gun charges, including having an obliterated serial number on his gun. So clearly this person had nefarious intentions, but how did he get it? And were there other people working with him? That's what is a part of the investigation now. But again, we can talk more about that if you'd like. Taking a look at local stories, however, there was a report that came out yesterday from the Office of the Inspector General looking into the UMass Dartmouth abandonment of the Star Store campus in downtown New Bedford. Now, this report, in order to get a more accurate portrayal of everything that went on, went all the way back to the beginning. And I didn't read the full report. I think it's like 138 pages. I just skimmed it and then read kind of the executive summary of it. And it is not very kind to any of the parties involved, whether it be UMass Dartmouth, whether it be DECAM, whether it be Paul Downey, the owner of the building. It is clearly see if I can give you the exact words that it used. Sham procurement. That's how they describe just the beginnings of this whole process. That the city took ownership of the building due to non-payment of taxes, I think the store had been closed for about 8 years at that point. So the city took the building over. The New Bedford Redevelopment Authority had targeted Downey as being the person to develop the property. Through Governor Weld's orders, the DCAM organization began to accept requests for bids to develop the building because the state stepped in and was going to fund it. And that became a flawed process, according to the Inspector General's report, because Downey emerged as the only person from that search. And then he was able to purchase the building for a dollar, but the deal was described by the Inspector General as wasteful. Because not only was nothing being done to maintain the building, that was on UMass Dartmouth, which the Inspector General feels, you know, shouldn't have been the case. Generally, you own a building, you're responsible for the maintenance and upkeep of it. If the tenant doesn't do it, then you do it and deal with the tenant. You don't let the building rot away, for lack of a better term, because the tenant isn't doing it. So, for example, if you rent a home from a landlord and it says in the lease that you are responsible for the upkeep of the landscaping and you don't do it, then if the landlord wants to maintain the landscaping and keep the property looking nice, the landlord comes down and does it and then argues with you about it. The landlord doesn't let it just sit there and get overgrown. But that's what happened. And when millions of dollars were appropriated from the state legislature to go into repairs and renovations to the building, the work wasn't done. In addition, millions were spent moving the Star Store classes to the UMass Dartmouth campus and to refurbish the former Circuit City store, Dartmouth Commons, to accommodate CVPA classes. And the real crux of this is that the Inspector General's office wants to make sure that this doesn't happen again, because the building is still owned by the same person. So they want to make sure that if there is another state-funded deal there, that this same setup doesn't happen. And also to make sure that if state money is spent for any facility, that the same thing isn't allowed to happen. But statements from Mayor Mitchell and Senator Montigny related to, and Mayor Mitchell will be on with Chris this morning, so he's going to have more. I would not be surprised, but I don't know for a fact, if Senator Montigny doesn't join Chris to talk about this more. But they both said, you know, it's become clear that UMass Dartmouth never had any intention of staying in this building. In which case, even the exit procedure was an issue, because the decision was made so abruptly, and if you knew you were going to do that, why didn't you say something sooner? Instead of when you'd already had students enrolled for the fall semester who thought that that's where they were going to be taking classes. It was just about a month before classes were set to begin that this announcement was made that UMass Dartmouth was pulling out of the Star Store building. So the whole thing was a debacle, and we knew that it was a debacle. We'd heard Senator Montigny, Mayor Mitchell, and others, Councilor Gomes. We heard other people talking about how this was a debacle, but now you have an official report from the Office of the Inspector General just describing what a debacle it was. Now, the question then becomes, well, if this situation was ongoing for so long, why did it take 22 years for somebody to sound the whistle about this, sound the alert? Why wasn't this taken care of in year 10? And Senator Montigny said, hey, there were times where we've tried to do that. Granted, originally the 20-year lease, you would have thought, okay, well, the school could have bought it for a dollar at the end of that 20-year lease, and then everything should have moved forward from there. But that was also in the comeback period from COVID. So you can understand a little bit of the extension there, but to not announce the plans and to just basically eventually get to the point where they were paying month to month, which the report points out as being extremely wasteful. You know, this was allowed to continue on. I'm just looking over some paperwork here, some of the statements, and this is a highlight that comes from the report. DCAM agreed to pay $1.9 million in base rent for that 1 year that they were renting month to month, a reduction from the prior year, but not an amount seemingly based on any debt service, additional renovations, or any other costs the developer bore, thus giving the developer a much higher profit ratio. So it's almost like, hey, you know what? Let's pad things a little bit more for you before we pull out of here. So this is a scathing report. You can read the entire report linked up at the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. It lays it all out very well. It's a lot. But you can see exactly why people are scratching their heads saying, how is this allowed to happen for 22 years? And you can say all you want, well, you know, buildings get old, buildings start to fail, the equipment within buildings start to fail, but money was appropriated to make those repairs. Money was appropriated to replace that equipment. That money was not used to do those things. Where did it go? What was it used for? So I know that UMass Dartmouth has been very insulated in this. Jack Spillane would come on with us before he retired from the Turning on the Light segment. He would come on with us and talk about how Chancellor Fuller was not being forthcoming, not answering questions, and was being protected, in his words, by UMass President Marty Meehan. So it was a matter of nobody wanted to answer these questions because they felt they didn't have to. But I think there might be some kind of reckoning here for this. I think there might be some kind of accountability. And we'll see how much. Certainly Senator Montigny has the power to push on that. But is it going up against a brick wall? If you remember, Governor Healey was reluctant to get involved in the situation. And in Jack's appraisal analysis, he felt that it was the political power of Marty Meehan that made all the difference. So I don't know where this is going to go, but certainly it's worth a read. If not the whole report, check out the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app with some of the synopsis. But this is a 22-year odyssey that has been deemed wasteful and a sham from the beginning. That's a lot of money that's been spent over the years. About $60 million. And I know when this story broke last year, Jack Spillane was talking about it each week when he came on here. He and Colin Hogan at New Bedford Light have been following that story very closely for the last year plus. And Jack's really been the one sounding the bell of, hey, folks, we need to look into what went on here. It's about more than just Jack Spillane, downtown New Bedford resident, being upset that there's no longer an arts campus downtown, which is how I think some people were taking it. But he was trying to say, hey, listen, this is intentionally sabotaging downtown New Bedford. My words, not his. So now there's going to be further scrutiny on this. And you should care, because that's your tax dollars that were spent for this. Now, whether or not that has a long-term effect on the vibrancy of downtown remains to be seen. It's a year later, and I haven't heard a lot of concern that the lack of the Star Store campus has hurt downtown, but it's also a hard thing to judge right now with the Zeitarian closed down. Not long after the Star Store was vacated, the Zeitarian closed down for repairs. 18 months worth of repairs. So we're looking at a while before we will really see the impact of whether or not the departure of UMass Dartmouth will hurt downtown. And again, maybe it has hurt and I just haven't heard about it, but I'm just saying I haven't had it brought up to me and discussed here on the air. You'd like to think that part of building back the vibrancy of downtown means that it could sustain the loss of any of its key components. And you'd hope that it's been built up enough that having the CVPA leave is not destructive. But the bottom line is, wasted taxpayer dollars, a procurement from the beginning that was described as a sham by the Inspector General, and questions all around about how this was handled. 508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We will have more Money Talks codes for you coming up, beginning at 8 a.m. and then every hour, 10 codes each day through this show, Chris, Barry, and Howie. When you hear that code, enter it at the Money Talks page on WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, and you'll be entered to win $30,000. There's a $100 winner each hour, but you really want to be entered in to win that 30 grand. So don't get upset when you enter in that code and you're not the $100 winner. That just means you got another entry for the 30 grand. And we've got codes coming up for you all week on that. So you want to make sure you keep listening to WBSM. And as I said yesterday, don't worry if you miss a code. I mean, we'd love it if you're listening all day long and you hear every single one of them. But if you miss one, don't worry. You don't have to have a complete set. Each code is just a different entry. So don't worry at all if you miss a few over the course of the next couple of weeks. We also have a couple of other contests we put up at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, some tickets that we'll be giving away. We have two shows. One is a comedy show and one is a concert. If you're a fan of the band Vampire Weekend, or you know somebody who is, they're going to be rocking TD Garden coming up. And hold on, I'm just getting the date because I don't remember that one off the top of my head. On Friday, September 27th at TD Garden. So you can enter to win tickets now on the website and on the app. And then we also have... Oh, why isn't that working? Got to fix that link. This is what happens when you stay up till like 11 o'clock at night doing work. We have tickets to see Eddie Izzard at the Vets in Providence on October 6th. So if you would like to enter to win either of those, you can do so at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And those contests brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, right on Huddleston Avenue, the home of the Purple Dot where you can try before you buy, and the home of the Rack House Club where whiskey, bourbon, and rye fans can sign up, get a new bottle every month, and get 10% off all of their whiskey and bourbon purchases. All right, I got to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. 508-996-0500. All right, we're going to be going into the newsroom in just a moment. On the other side, we can take your calls. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line, voicemails, and the WBSM app. Just a programming note. On Thursday morning, we're going to be joined by Boston Globe sports writer Gary Washburn to talk about his new book about the Boston Celtics and to take a look back at the championship season that they just had. Also working on some other guests for you as well, including Alice Hoffman, who is the author of the book Practical Magic. You know, it's a pretty popular movie around this time of year, but also who has a new book out about Anne Frank. And then we're working on a guest for probably the end of the month who'll be talking to us about how to come back, you know, what we were talking about yesterday, how to come back from this political divide in America. So those are just some of the upcoming discussions we'll be having on the program. But right now, we're going to be hearing all about the news with Phil Devitt.
New details on the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. Time running out to register to vote. And it's back to the office for Amazon workers.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The man suspected in an attempted assassination of former President Trump did not fire any shots. Speaking from Palm Beach County, Florida, Acting Secret Service Director Ronald Rowe said suspect Ryan Routh was unable to get a single shot off, and he praised the quick actions of his team.
Yesterday was an off-the-record movement, and the president wasn't even really supposed to go there. It was not on his official schedule. And so we put together a security plan, and that security plan worked.
Rowe said there has been a dynamic shift in Secret Service policy since Trump's first assassination attempt in Pennsylvania in July, and there cannot be any failures. The FBI is confirming they're investigating Sunday's event as an assassination attempt and reviewed the two federal firearm charges charges Routh faces at this point, noting more could be coming. The FBI also confirmed Routh was at the scene for 12 hours before the event unfolded, based on cell phone records. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine is sending the state patrol to keep an eye on schools in Springfield after more than 30 bomb threats since last week.
We want to make sure, as school continues this week in Springfield, that parents have confidence that the school is, in fact, safe.
The threats have been linked to unfounded allegations from former President Trump and his running mate, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, that Haitian immigrants are eating people's cats and dogs in the city. Two colleges moved to virtual learning. Two elementary schools were evacuated on Monday. The threats so far have all been baseless. Time is running out. If you want to vote in this year's election and are not registered, today is National Voter Registration Day, a big push to expand the voter rolls. The goal is to help people sign up or get back on the voter list if they missed a deadline or forgot to update their registration after moving. Hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs says he's looking forward to clearing his name in court. Combs was taken into federal custody Monday in New York City. Charges against him remain sealed for now, but nearly a dozen lawsuits have been filed against him, alleging physical abuse or sex trafficking. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says the latest investigation into his dealings with wildlife is part of the, quote, weaponization of our government. Kennedy was at an Arizona campaign event Saturday for former President Trump, where he told the crowd he's been looked at for collecting a whale specimen 20 years ago. His daughter told Town and Country magazine in 2012 that her father cut a whale's head off after it washed up on the shore in Massachusetts. Apparently, the National Marine Fisheries Institute sent a letter to NOAA urging an investigation. And it's back to the office for Amazon workers starting next year. Brad Ford reports.
Amazon has been increasing the number of days employees were required to be in the office. Since May, they needed to be in the office at least 3 days a week. Starting January 2nd, they'll need to be in the office the entire week. CEO Andy Jassy says there will be exceptions, just like there were before the pandemic. That includes taking care of a sick child, some sort of house emergency, or employees on the road to see customers. I'm Brad Ford.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox are in Tampa Bay tonight to start a three-game series with the Rays. First pitch at 6:50. Patriots packing their bags for New York. Third game of the season with the Jets on Thursday, and you can hear it right here on WBSM.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Tuesday. We're dealing with some patchy fog, mostly cloudy skies, temperatures around 60. It'll remain mostly cloudy as we head into the afternoon. Some hazy sky as well due to those smoke in the upper levels of the atmosphere. Temperature in the mid-70s, mostly cloudy overnight with some patchy drizzle. Temperature in the upper 50s. AM drizzle tomorrow, chance showers, temperature in the upper 70s. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Delgarmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
In Phil Devitt, I don't know if you, do you know the name of that song? It's a long one.
I was just trying to think of it.
Do you remember the name of the group?
Ooh, I should just go home now, huh?
It's a one-hit wonder, kind of obscure.
Okay.
So don't be too hard on yourself.
All right.
But the name of the group is pretty appropriate for us. It's Primitive Radio Gods.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the song is... I even have to double check to make sure. Standing outside a broken phone booth with money in my hand.
Yeah, I was never going to get that.
That might be the longest song title that I can think of.
You know how some song titles have like the parentheses over a bunch of words?
Yeah.
Is that the case here? Or is it just
no parentheses?
No.
This is all just straight up. Standing outside a broken phone booth with money in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Which when you do it rhythmically, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, and a one-hit wonder, you said.
As far as I know. Yeah. I don't remember another song by them.
Right. I've definitely heard the song. I just never, I guess, thought about who it was.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
Very chill, very relaxed.
Nice for a good kind of cloudy Tuesday morning, you know?
Absolutely. We'll play some more. Maybe we'll play some more 90s one-hit wonders. That means you probably got some Whitetown coming your way at some point. Because then I can talk about all the musical allusions in that song.
You never know what's up Tim's sleeve, music-wise.
You never know where the YouTube is going to distract me and take me down some rabbit hole.
That's it.
All right, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You are on WBSM.
Good morning. Technical thing first. At about 6:09, a couple of times, your voice kind of dropped off. And then when Phil was starting the news, it happened again. And then there was like a 90-second period just before she came on with the weather. Are you guys aware of that?
Why would we be aware of it?
I don't know.
We're not listening to the radio,
listening,
Phil.
Or somebody was listening to the actual broadcast. It kept skipping, like.
Did you put? Did
longer
you,
during
did, have you put new batteries in your radio anytime soon?
Maybe, no, it's plugged in.
I'm messing with you. No, we'll take a look into that. It's probably
okay on a more
what's the word I'm looking for? Mercury retrograde. Is it Mercury retrograde yet? That always tends to cause problems, according to all of my celestial friends.
On a more serious personal note. Okay, on a more serious personal note. Long-time listener. She never called in. She lived in our city for about 24 years. Her name was Susan DeLouise. She passed away 3 weeks ago, but nobody knew about it till after her services and stuff. It was very quick, she had been sick for a while. A lot of people weren't even aware of it till last week when I started letting them know because I was close to the family, so... for those in the community that knew her, she used to work down at Walgreens downtown, so she was well known. And a couple of times I actually brought her to a couple of the meet and greets, like at restaurants and stuff. She was the short, dark haired girl who used to come with me with the walker. So,
wow. Well, we send our thoughts to her family and to those who knew her.
And as far as all this stuff with Donald Trump, you said it yesterday and way back the first time after that gentleman down there at his rally. It brings unrest. Doesn't matter who the individual is, male, female, what party. It brings unrest and instability to our country because it's about our country at this point. And it makes the world look at us like, wow. And they start second guessing. Like,
I mean, just
their bonds and units with our country. So
look at it like this. You could know a couple who is the most loving couple in the world. But if they're out there fighting all the time, you know, if every time they're out in public, they're getting into an argument with each other, people are going to think, well, gee, that marriage isn't very solid.
Yep. And the ugliness it really started just before Obama, because there was things like with the McCain factor and different ones and different people. And when it started getting ugly, it becomes like a civil war and people get ugly and aggressive, insults, antagonistic. Just focus on this is what we want to do. As an individual, as a party, instead of attacking, attack, attack. That's why I backed out of politics about 12 years ago. I still go to events once in a while, but I'm not directly involved in anybody's campaigns anymore. I'm not a Democrat anymore. I left that party 4 years ago, and I was part of that party for most of my adult life. On my 18th birthday, literally, I went to town hall in Fairhaven and registered to vote, and I'm 62 now. So,
well, I think a lot of people.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Likewise. I think a lot of people are looking at, the idea of being part of a party, meaning you have to be identifying with and okay with everything that that party says, does, believes, pushes. And as a result, you're seeing a lot of people say, well, you know what? It's just easier not to be part of a party anymore. You know, it used to be that you could be part of a political party and say, yeah, well, I'm a Democrat, say, but I'm not a progressive Democrat, or I'm a Democrat, but I'm more of a centrist, or I'm a conservative Democrat. And when you said those kind of things, people understood kind of where you stood on things. Now, you can't be that. You can't be a varying degree of something because either, first of all, anybody who's not part of that party is going to assume, well, you're a Democrat, so you're for all this radical agenda stuff. You're a Democrat. You must want to defund the police. You must want to eliminate all gas-powered vehicles. I mean, that's one that people hit me with all the time. Where I say all the time, like, no, I don't think we need to get rid of gas-powered vehicles now. But I think it's worth having vehicles that are powered by other means. I think it's worth looking into alternative sources of energy and letting the people decide what they're interested in purchasing. And then, you know, eventually the prices come down on things like electric vehicles, and then someone might say, you know what, that is good enough for me. I don't drive enough to worry. You know, I think that'd be perfectly fine. So I think, you know, you get roped into everything that everybody in the party believes now from people who are outside of the party. But what's even worse is that people inside that party won't let you have a differing opinion either. You know, you're supposed to be one of us. Like, look at the way far-left Democrats have turned on Bill Maher, a guy who gave $1 million to Hillary Clinton. People have turned on him because he's not progressive enough for them. He's not progressive enough because he's just turned into a cranky old rich guy. Now, I no longer agree with him on a lot of things. I don't really find him funny. I've always felt like he goes for the lowest hanging fruit kind of joke. Like, I can see his punchlines coming from a mile away. But I still will watch his show because I find the conversations interesting. But I know he's just become a cranky old rich guy who cares about the things that he cares about personally, but has found a way to increase his audience size by being critical of the far left. So the idea that he's supposed to be one of us from the Democrats and say all the things that they want him to say is ridiculous. And that just makes it so that he's going to be even less likely to say it. So that to me is more dangerous when people within the party, you know, and the same thing's happening with Republicans as well. They turn against, you know, the MAGA portion of Republicans turn against anybody that isn't. And that's a dangerous way to keep going forward. So we'll see if there's any change to that anytime in the future. One thing that I heard a lot of in the brief little bit of TV news I watched yesterday is everybody saying, you know, we're going to tamp down the rhetoric. Of course, they said that after the first assassination attempt on Donald Trump and didn't last very long. But everybody's saying it again, and maybe this time it can stick. But I think everybody understands that that means not only do I want the other side to tamp it down, but I've got to tamp it down myself. J.D. Vance yesterday, you know, vowed to do what he can to kind of lower the temperature on things. So we'll see if that carries through to, you know, all four of the people on the tickets. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We will be right back. And that is Your Woman by Whitetown, which when it first came out back in the 90s, everybody was like, oh, that sounds like Darth Vader. That sounds like the Imperial March. And maybe that's where John Williams was inspired for that. But that is actually a sample of a song from the 1930s by Lou Stone's Monsignor Band with Al Boley as the vocalist from 1932. It's called My Woman. And I didn't even know about that till it was Ralph Medeiros from Ralph's Used Cars who introduced me to Al Boley. And that song sounds like this. Oh, hold on. That's still way down. You stop. Let me play that again. This goes on for quite a bit before Al starts singing. But one of the great singers of the 1930s. And then that song was recently sampled again by Dua Lipa. So I was, one day I was walking by the Fun 107 studio and I heard that song playing and I said, Al Boley? Whitetown? But it was Dua Lipa. So, who was actually very good. Very, very, very good. Participation Trophy Wife says, don't pick on Phil with the obscure one-hit wonders from over 20 years ago. It's too early for that. It's never too early for obscure one-hit wonders from, honestly, probably 30 years ago at this point. Almost. I'm going to guess Primitive Radio Gods was 96, maybe. I'll have to look it up. But it's never too early for obscure one-hit wonders from the 90s, which maybe we'll play some more today. Anyway, we can talk about more serious things as well. 508-996-0500. Jeff in Fall River, referring back to the story regarding the Star Store, the Inspector General's report came out yesterday, calling it wasteful, the deal, and that it was a sham procurement. And Jeff in Fall River says, building owner made out great. Another Democrat-led deal that failed. Well, what's interesting about it is, you know, Senator Montigny, who is a Democrat, has been the champion for Star Store for years, and he's being the most vocal about how this fell apart. Mayor Mitchell, who is a Democrat, is also being very vocal about the way this fell apart. So I don't think it was necessarily a party thing as much as it was, you know, just a debacle in how it was handled, how it was done from the beginning. Seems like the fix was in. Let's take a phone call here. I do have to take another break before the end of the hour, but let's take a call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg.
How you doing?
Oh, terrible. Just terrible. I got a very fast shot complaint, okay?
Okay.
It's about Hawthorne Medical again, where I go. I had to do the sleep study finally. Now, I went there 30 years ago. It was different. It's in a different place now. But anyway, I got there. I followed the instructions of where to go, and I got to the floor, and I went to the front desk. I says, I'm here for my appointment. And the guy said, okay, what is your name, blah, blah, your phone number. He punched it all. He goes, I don't see your name here. He says, what are you here for? I said, the sleep study. Isn't this the floor? He says, the what? I said, neurology. Sleep study department. He goes, I've never heard of that. So he turned around, he looked at the girl behind him. Goes, I've heard of it. I have no idea where it is. I said, well, somebody better find it because this is where they told me to come. I know there's been renovations, and this is where I came the first time 30 years ago. He says, well, let me look back in here. And I'm standing there just waiting. I knew I was in the correct place because the instructions they gave me was right there where I was standing. And then some girl, which was around one of the partitions, she must have been listening, she came out, she goes, oh, yeah. She goes, you just have to turn around and go straight and take one right, and you'll see a door. I'm walking around, going, I saw the door, passed it. I went right back to the front. I said, listen, I see a door. Looks like a restroom. Is that what you're talking about? She goes, yeah, there's no sign on it. For some reason, they don't put a sign. Everybody gets lost in here. So there it was, about 15 minutes lost. I wanted to just go over there and knock at it. I knocked at the door. And I was also told that it's different from 30 years ago, that they give you a little meter thing and you take it home and you hook yourself up and then you bring it back in the morning, which I'm going to do any minute now. And then before I left there with that little thing, she says, oh, and by the way, you might have to come back. The doctor will call you. I said, there's no way I'm sleeping here. I couldn't do it the last time. I can't sleep in a bed that's not mine. And I prefer sitting up in a lounge chair or something. There's no hell way I'm coming back. Number one, I can't drive at night. And number two, I've got other bad things going on, and there's no way I'm coming back, so the doctor will have to do the best he can out of the reading on this machine. She goes, well, I don't know. You'll have to talk to him. So I don't know why they do things like that. No sign on the – they have a sign in the hallway that says neurology, but then when you walk into that front desk where you're supposed to be signing in and letting them know that you're there, they never heard of it, they said. People that work 10 feet away from that door don't know what's behind that door.
Yeah, that seems odd.
Yeah.
maybe it's secret sleep studies.
I don't know, but the girl looked like a vampire to me, kind of gothic looking, just pretty and everything, but so young.
Did you get her phone number for me, or?
Well, if I had known that you were interested in gossip, you know, maybe.
You don't know me very well. I mean, come on.
Well, listen, if she had looked like a ghost or a spirit, maybe I would have done that. I don't know.
Goth works too. So how did you sleep though with the device on you? Okay.
Well, I've always had a problem. I mean, with no device, I have a problem falling asleep, and then when I get to sleep, I seem to have a habit automatically waking up around 2:00, 2:15, and then it's very hard to fall back asleep. So I'll get up, I'll go on the internet, look around, I'll have maybe a small cup of yogurt or something, I'll eat something, and then I doze off after that. But I can't tell when I actually fell asleep, but I mean, I'm aware of when I wake up of what time it is, so I know I dozed off again.
I got to hold you for the commercial break, but I'll give you one tip before I let you go. One thing I've learned, it's better if you're having trouble falling back asleep not to look at a screen, because that just makes you stay awake more.
Yeah, well, so, that's good, but it's my habit, so.
I get you. I'm the same way.
All right. Have a good day.
You as well. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.